3 days in a row. Woo! I am killing it. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Here is your movie news rundown for the day. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, probably one of the most iconic films in the last 40 years, I'd say. It is a favorite of mine. It's a favorite of a lot of people that I know. And we've only gotten one reboot so far in that very odd and weird film with Johnny Depp starring as a Michael Jackson-inspired Willy Wonka that kind of made me want to throw up. But Warner Brothers recently acquired the rights to the Willy Wonka intellectual property from the Roald Dahl estate last year, and they are developing a new film with producer David Heyman, who is famous for producing the Harry Potter films, Fantastic Beasts, and Gravity. And the new movie will be centered around Willy Wonka specifically. It'll be not an origin story, but a standalone focused on Wonka and his early adventures, how he first met the iconic Oompa Loompas on one of his earlier adventures. So, you know, they kind of touched on that in the Johnny Depp movie. It was more of a flashback, being this really weird psychedelic forest somewhere, finding them. So, I don't know. Some of the times these concepts can be hit or miss. I don't know if anyone remembers Pan, the very odd Peter Pan reboot that sort of explained how Peter first came to Neverland and that kind of origin story, and it really didn't land. So maybe this done the right way could yield good results, and they are looking to add a director to the project, who is Paul King, best known for his work on the Paddington films, Paddington Bear films that are very popular over in the UK. Everyone really loves his take on that character and that adaptation, that book as well, so he could be the perfect choice to adapt yet another children's novel into this new movie. No release date yet has been decided. It was previously reported that Ryan Gosling actually made a statement that he would love to play Willy Wonka, and that he actually is the studio's first choice. So that would be fucking awesome. I mean, Gosling has been on fire lately with his roles and his choices of projects, and I think he has that eccentric, charming side that would probably be dialed up to 11 for the project like this. But it's interesting. I would be interested in seeing a Willy Wonka standalone movie, but it would have to really be done right. I feel there's way more ways to get this wrong than it is to get this right. I mean, would I rather just see a straight remake of the original film? Maybe, but you know, this done in the right way could yield good results. It's really gonna fall, I feel it's all gonna fall on who they choose to play Wonka in this film. And man, if Gosling is the studio's first choice, that's not a bad way to get your movie going. So if this film is going to center around, you know, Wonka and his early adventures, and will center around maybe around how he first gets the Oompa Loompas. In the Roald Dahl novel, Wonka comes across the Oompa Loompas in Loompa Land, which is this fictitious place somewhere on the earth, I'm guessing, and he invites them to come work in his chocolate factory because he was concerned about their survival. So, and Loompa Land is supposed to be a very harsh and dangerous place, so could it be... I don't know if this would work, but like Indiana Jones, like National Treasure style film where he's like, there are these creatures somewhere in the wild and I need to find them or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, guys, odd project, but we'll see how this develops, and let's cross our fingers for Ryan Gosling. So about a month ago, Deadpool director Tim Miller said that he is going to be developing a new X-Men film that's going to focus solely on the character of Kitty Pryde, who's also known as Shadow Cat and a few other names. She's a famous mutant who's been a big part of the comics for many, many, many years. She was in the Bryan Singer films, I believe. She was in most of them. She was in most of them. So they want to make a standalone film just focused on her. But at the time of that report, it was just in development, meaning it was a project he wanted to do, most likely getting together a pitch story to give to the studio to see if they want to greenlight it. And it looks like the project is now moving forward with comic writer, uber famous comic book writer, Brian Michael Bendis, hired by the studio to write the script. And the film is being developed under the project code name 143, and according to The Hollywood Reporter, 143 is a reference to Uncanny X-Men number 143, released in 1981, and is one of the earliest Kitty Pryde stories, and it focuses on a solo adventure of hers, which would see her face off with this some kind of demon alone in the X-Mansion together. So that could be pretty sweet, like a psychological thriller, two of them locked in this big-ass mansion, don't know where, I don't know if the demon is a ghost, or if it's like a mutant that looks like a demon, but this could be an interesting premise, and especially for someone who phased through walls, through solid objects, she can disrupt electromagnetic fields, and sometimes even levitate. But here is the full summary of that comic book that the title is referencing to. This is the summary of the storyline of that comic book. It's Christmas Eve, but all of the X-Men are busy and leave Kitty behind at the mansion alone. Scott Summers calls from Florida, where he starts to work as a sailor man for Lee Forrester. Later, the mansion is attacked by a Nagari demon. Kitty tries to escape and phases through floor and walls, but the demon keeps up. She lures it into the danger room, but it trashes every single weapon that the room throws at it. Finally, Kitty escapes into the hangar and manages to fry the demon with the Blackbird's afterburners. Later, the X-Men return with Kitty's parents as a surprise. They are proud how well she handled the situation. So, this could be like a horror thriller in a way. I mean, like, if you put that concept and kind of think like Alien or any kind of like Paranormal Activity kind of situation where someone's alone in a giant house and there's a creepy entity trying to get them, no matter what they do, they can't seem to escape, and then put a mutant spin on that sounds really fucking cool to me. And I mean, they're already coming out with a new Mutants movie, which they've done a trailer for, and that film also has a very horror thriller aspect to it, so it looks like they're going down this sort of darker route with those films. So if this is a story that they're doing, that all falls in line in the same boat, and I would be stoked to see a film like this. It seems like it'd be something different, something I haven't seen before, and yeah, I'm all for this happening. Chad Stahelski, the stuntman turned director who famously has directed both John Wick and John Wick Chapter 2, has just signed on for a really interesting film project that's based on a 9-book supernatural fantasy series called Sandman Slim. The story centers on James Sandman Slim Stark, a fast-talking, hard-boiled supernatural vigilante who escapes from hell to avenge his girlfriend's murder and hunt down the magicians responsible for getting him sent downtown. The movie version will be written by Kerry Williamson, who recently co-wrote the Netflix film What Happened to Monday. And before Stahelski jumps into the development of this film, he'll be directing his third installment of John Wick, and then he will be going into this project soon after. The book series I've never heard of before. I'd like to think that I kind of keep up on fantasy sci-fi genre series that are pretty popular, but I'm more into the graphic novel comic book realm than I am for novels, although I should change that. And judging by the premise of this one, this book might be something I dive into, because check out this premise. for this series. Supernatural fantasy has a new anti-hero. Life sucks and then you die. Or if you're James Stark, you spend 11 years in hell as a hitman before finally escaping, only to land back in the hell on Earth that is Los Angeles. Now Stark's back and ready for revenge and absolution, and maybe even love. But when his first stop saddles him with an abusive talking head, Stark discovers that the road to absolution and revenge is much longer than you'd expect, and both heaven and hell have their own ideas for his future. Resurrection sucks, saving the world is worse. So this kinda has a John Wick sort of touch into it, in that it's a revenge piece, big set action movie. But I mean, you know, a revenge film isn't a John Wick thing. I mean, revenge films have been around forever, but for a guy who's known for making action-packed, intense revenge films, this seems like it's still in that wheelhouse, but just giving him way more world building and way more things to play with. So, man, I would love to see this. And do you think that he'll cast Keanu Reeves as James Stark? Because that would be kind of funny. I could see him doing it. I mean, he's great at revenge films and he can kick a lot of ass, so why not? But yeah, guys, this is going to be a movie that you're going to want to keep your eye on in the development stage, and maybe in a year from now when you see the trailer, you can say, I knew that this was happening way back when. So it wouldn't be a movie news rundown without at least one Star Wars story, and this one includes Lawrence Kasdan, the famous writer who wrote Empire Strikes Back. He helped write The Force Awakens, and recently wrote with his son Solo, a Star Wars story, and he recently had an interview with Entertainment Weekly in which he actually went through a lot of in-depth thoughts on his inspirations for making Han Solo, what film references he used for certain situations. But one of the interesting tidbits about this is that he revealed that George Lucas was actually developing a Han Solo standalone film before Disney bought Lucasfilm. He knows this because he was going to write it with George. In the article, it states, even before Lucasfilm was sold to Disney in 2012, launching a renaissance of galactic storytelling, Lawrence Kasdan had signed on to put together a Han Solo-centric movie. So after Disney bought Lucasfilm, they wanted Kasdan to help write the script for Force Awakens. Then the studio wanted to move forward with the Solo film that he was working on with Lucas. And when they wanted to bring him on, he kind of felt like it would be a lot because he had just finished Force Awakens, and the thought of going on to another huge project was a little bit daunting just because of the ringer he went through with Force Awakens. So we actually brought his son in to help him write it. And this is the quote from the article. When I was done, I was sort of burnt out and I said, I don't know, do we still want to do this Han thing? And they said, yeah, we really want you to go ahead with Han. And I said, well, my son John is very enthusiastic and full of ideas about the saga. And he had directed two movies and had done other things. What if he came on and worked with me? Because that would give me a shot in the arm. And so that's exactly what happened. They made a deal with John, and he and I have been writing since for 3 years. So that's fucking sweet father-son project to work on, beyond Han Solo. The article goes on to go to Kasdan's kind of inspirations for the film itself. One we immediately reread was Robert Louis Stevenson's Treasure Island, because we wanted it to be a boy's adventure story, but one in which he encounters characters of dubious intent, and that everyone he would encounter would sort of inform his maturation as an adult. We talked about the relationship between Val Kilmer and Robert De Niro in Heat, where there's a sort of older, wiser criminal and then someone who's learning the ropes from them. We wanted this movie to have that flavor and that swagger. There's a feeling in Unforgiven between the kid and Clint that hits the kind of apprentice gunslinger relationship we were interested in. We were trying to create a crime movie where our character was entering a crime world where there were already dramas in place and relationships and complications, and we have to see him negotiate a lot more rivalries than he is expecting at the beginning of the story. Solo has that flavor of a crime world that has weirdness and surprise and people stumbling into things and other people very intentionally getting into trouble. The Big Lebowski is a great example because Solo has a more off-kilter tone than you've ever seen in Star Wars. Whew. That's a lot of details. I mean, just from that alone, you get a very good sense of the themes and the kind of styles that this movie is going to try to emulate. I mean, Treasure Island, a bit of Heat, Unforgiven, Big Lebowski, like, oh man, if this guy delivers on what he's saying, this could actually be a very sweet film. But from that trailer, I didn't really get any of these senses, but hopefully we'll get a more full trailer and maybe even hear Lando speak. So, but hearing this gets me more excited for Solo than I was before. DC Entertainment has been trying for quite some time to get a Lobo standalone film up and running. The project has had a few interested parties wanting to do it, but have since dropped out. Directors like Guy Ritchie, Brad Peyton, who did San Andreas with The Rock. We're looking to do the film with Joel Silver and Akiva Goldsman producing, who are some of the best producers around. But all of these great people wanted to do a Lobo film with DC, and they all dropped out. So they've still been looking for someone to take the reins, and they feel that, you know, with all these projects seemingly moving forward, DC trying to course correct the vision after Justice League kind of fell apart, looks like they finally found someone to helm their Lobo film, and they're looking to bring on, I hate to say it, Michael Bay. Yep, Transformers director, the man you love to hate. They really, and I mean really, want him to direct their Lobo film. This comes from an article from The Wrap, and in that article it says that the studio thinks that Lobo could be like their answer to Deadpool, which is kind of hearsay because, not hearsay, but like not accurate, because Deadpool and Lobo could not be any more different of a kind of character other than they're both eccentric badass assassins, except one is on Earth and the other one is in space. So I don't know, I feel strange about that choice. I mean, on one hand, you do have the Transformer films, which the first one I loved, and then they got really awful. But then you got this guy who did Bad Boys, and you got Pain and Gain, and you know, a lot of other films that I actually like of his, The Rock being one of them. Like, he's got a track record of making good films, and it was action films with eccentric, charming, charismatic leads heading the film. Those are my favorite of his, and this would kind of fall into that category. This would also be the first time that he has ever done a superhero film if it goes forward. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, man, a Lobo film, Michael Bay directing. I mean, I would think this could do nothing but hurt any momentum the studio has going for itself. Because when you have, you know, a lot of fanboys especially hating on the DC films lately and the direction it seems to be going, I don't know if the smartest choice to tell your fan base and saying, we're course correcting, we've got these new films coming up, you're all gonna love them, and guess what? One of them's gonna be about from Michael Bay. You know that the community will just outright go, what the fuck? Really, Michael Bay? You're gonna shove Michael Bay film into our DC world that we're struggling to keep alive above water? But I mean, who knows? It, like I said, the genre film is in his wheelhouse. He could make it good. The report also says that Bay met with DC to discuss the project and offered some notes that the Wonder Woman writer Jason Fuchs will incorporate into a rewrite. Then after that rewrite, the studio will present a new script to Bay and hope that they can close the deal. So none of this is 100% yet, but they are in talks, they are meeting, and it seems like things are kind of inching towards the deal being closed if DC can give Bay a script that he wants. I'm guessing it's going to have to include some over a motorcycle butt shot, or some robot balls that dangles above someone's head, or a robot pissing on somebody. I don't know. Some of the times, man, the humor in a Michael Bay film just doesn't land. Lobo especially is a fucking sick DC character, and one fanboys love, and that I personally love as well. He's this alien, like, motorcycle butch dude who has long black dreads, who has, like, seemingly the strength of Superman, and runs around this motorcycle that flies through space, taking on jobs and just murdering people. So we'll see how this one goes, but would you want to see a Michael Bay-directed DC film? I'm not sure that I would. All right, guys, that is all the movie news I have for you on this Tuesday. I want to say thank you again, as always, for listening. Have a great day. Do something that surprises you today. How about that? Just do something that you never normally do. Go read a comic book that you've always wanted to read. Go watch that film you've always wanted to watch but haven't. Make it today the day. Make it today the day? Make today the day. That's what I meant to say. See you later, guys. Put down a remote. Go watch a fucking movie.